In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. When I was a kid, like many of you, our Christmas Eve tradition involved, of course, going to church, finding our way into the pageant, which usually involved my siblings and I donning some sort of animal costume, and jumping right in. Our aunts and uncles eventually sort of caught on, and they brought all my cousins, and we probably took over a sheep herd or two throughout the years. We would go home and have dinner, beg our parents to open presents, and usually still be told no. That was just the tradition. As we got older, I still remember helping behind the scenes, but my little sister, she always loved to perform, so she always would want to be up front. She loved that time of year, and so one year, our priest approached her and said, assuming that she was going to be very excited and ready to go, and she said, Sarah, are you ready for the Christmas pageant this year? She responded, yes, but do we have to do the same story again this year? Even our littlest ones know these familiar stories and scripture that we hear this time of year. Those familiar characters, Mary and Joseph, the innkeeper, baby Jesus, the animals. We know that they're doing their familiar thing, looking for a place for the Savior of the world to be born. These stories and these pageants that are so familiar at Christmas Eve and at other times are pieces of Jesus' birth, usually as told in the Synoptic Gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Sometimes Luke only. And this might be a good thing, especially if you're a fan of these sort of productions, because if the pageant was based on the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, the pageant would be very short. There would be one line of narration, and then they would sort of sit down. It would read, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth," and the play would be over. We might leave a little disappointed that our traditions were not fulfilled. As great as those stories are, we aren't quite there yet. For now, in this third week of Advent, we have something of an Advent pageant, if you will. Except we only have one character, John. He is known frequently as John the Baptist, but the gospel writer John, who's a different John, emphasizes not his role as Baptist, not his camel hair clothing that we heard about last week and his diet of locusts and honey, but his role as witness. As we will see, this particular emphasis sheds a more full light on our call to live as witnesses to the light of Christ, even today and in our everyday lives. It rounds out the fullness of his role in Jesus' life and John's teachings for us that we have heard about in the previous weeks. John the Baptist gets his title mostly from the writer of Matthew. He is known as John the Baptizer in Mark, and John the son of Zechariah in Luke, all of which teach us something about who Jesus was to these people. The emphasis that the writer of the Gospel of John chooses for this passage is John the Witness. And I'm sort of using that as a title, John the Witness, capital W. When those around him are confused about who he is, he tells them that he is not the Messiah. When they ask if he is Elijah or Moses, a Moses-like prophet for whom they have been waiting for a very long time, he answers with no to both questions. The lesson only reads, "He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light." His existence is not as the Word made flesh, Jesus, nor as the light, but instead as the one who witnesses to and who tells others about Jesus, the light of the world. John the Witness knows who he is not, and even as others try to put him in a different role or tell him his place in the world, he resists and only says that he is there to point others to the light of the world that is not there yet but is coming. In this, we can find something of our call as those who have experienced and known the presence of Christ in our lives, especially when all else seemed dark. The light that John the Witness says he is the witness to or the forerunner of, is this capital L light, who, in the verse immediately prior to our passage for today, it is this light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This might be one of my favorite pieces of scripture, especially in the King James Version. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness comprehended it not. I am reassured and comforted by this idea that no matter the darkness that I may be experiencing, no matter its depth nor its power, nor anything else about it, the light of Christ cannot be overcome. The darkness cannot comprehend the light. And so even in the midst of darkness in our lives, we can trust that Christ is present and will always be. I understand this is something that sounds good for the preacher to say and very hard to believe. It can't simply just be said and left alone as a nice idea. Our experiences of the light of Christ overcoming darkness are experiences that we must share. We are called to share. We are invited to live our lives this way, reflecting the transforming power of these moments, following the call of John the Witness, who pointed us to the light. In this, we witness to and show others the light of Christ, even in the midst of whatever darkness they might be in the midst of. I'm not sure about you, but this world has seemed particularly full of these dark moments lately. Some senses in some places of injustice or pain or violence, whatever it might be, the list goes on. These stories increase in frequency only too often, it seems, or maybe it's just this time of year that makes us more aware of them. It's not just the world, of course. It's our own communities. It's our own lives as individuals. We have or will or are experiencing grief or pain or loss, anxiety, stress, fear. The list goes on, of course, unfortunately. This season, like I said, it only seems to increase our awareness of those moments. They can become our sole focus and attention. And yet, the light shines in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of all darkness. And the darkness does not overcome it, nor does the darkness comprehend it. The light of Christ still shines. Sometimes it feels like we don't deserve for it to be shining for us that day, or that we cannot see it. I understand that feeling. Knowing that this may be true for either us or those in our communities, we know that our call, following the example of John the Witness, is to testify to the light that will always illumine and overcome darkness. We can share this peace, this sense of peace, with those who may be unaware that it exists because of whatever may be happening with them. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. When I was a teenager, I went to a summer camp in the Boundary Waters of Minnesota. We would hike or rock climb or canoe or whatever we would do for 2 weeks. We had to take two different flights to Minneapolis and then to Duluth, and then a 3-hour school bus ride further north, and then a canoe ride into camp. So we were out in the middle of nowhere. At night, in those various trips camping, it got very dark. Very, very dark. The camp, of course, recommended that we bring headlamps, so that we could use our hands while it was still dark outside, of course. Before I went, I remember testing it out at home, being very excited about summer camp. The light at home never seemed to be as bright as in the midst of the dark of camp. I don't mean to suggest that one must go through darkness to receive light, or that one must be sitting in dark times for Christ to be present. I don't want to say that at all. But I share this to say that Christ's light is particularly bright when we feel as though we are unable to see anything else. And at least for me, and I'm guessing for some of you, it was those who loved me in my community who were able to show me this light in those times. It is that light of Christ reflected in others that sheds profound light even in the darkest of times. This Sunday in many churches, the Anglican Church, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, sort of Western liturgical churches, is called Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete in Latin means to rejoice. You'll notice that we've lit the rose-colored candle at the back, and in some churches you'd see rose-colored vestments. It's taken from originally from Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, but you also heard that in 1 Thessalonians today. Historically, Advent was considered more of a penitential season, in a way a counterpart to Lent, with an extended time of fasting. And so this Sunday would become a day of rest, a day of rejoicing. We don't so much practice it as a time of fasting anymore. It's quite the opposite, I think. I'd still invite us, though, to take this time and this day to be restful and to rejoice. Even though some form of this darkness that I have been talking about may be present in our lives, we can rest and rejoice this day that the light of Christ shines through even to each one of us. Today we are invited to rest in that. And then we are called to share the light and that peace that comes with resting and rejoicing. That in the darkness of the world, in the darkness of our lives, Christ shines through and the darkness does not comprehend it. The darkness will not and cannot overcome it. It is this light that in the season of Advent we are called to prepare ourselves to receive once again. We may not believe that we deserve it. We may not believe that the loving presence of Christ will lighten up the darker areas of our lives, but thankfully it isn't about anything we have done or not. Regardless of that, the light shines, always, forever, eternally. And for that, we should rejoice, and in that, we are called to rest. We prepare ourselves because this may be a difficult gift to receive, and yet we still receive it. We receive it, and especially for those of us who may not be experiencing some of these darker times, we share it with those who need to see the light of Christ that is in us, shining brightly, that will illumine the dark times for them. My invitation to you tonight, this morning, is to rejoice and to rest in this light, and then share it with the world.